Well, who would have guessed that that a ribeye would get so many people excited? Tell you what, Brother Brian, I think I'm going to upgrade yours to a tomahawk. All right, I'll find a tomahawk somewhere. No, that's good. Brian spoke to me and he said, I don't know if anyone's going to come, brother, but he said, I'm going to be there. So that's good.
Amen.
That's good. I mean, I hope more people show up, but.
We already got a group,
brother. All right. Great. Great, 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 great.
Get your freezer ready.
Get your freezer. Ribeye will be just the last night, all right? Not every night. It's going to be a week of fasting. It's been a good week, a lot of fun. It's been a different kind of week, I think. I'm refreshed. I'm going back very refreshed. Thank you for this time. A lot of new people that we met this time. It was good. I met a lot of new people in New York that I didn't know a few weeks ago when we were there, and a lot of new people here. You know what that tells me? The Lord's doing something. Lord is changing. Lord is touching hearts. That gets me excited when I think about it. But thanks a lot. The nursery workers too. Boy, they no kids in here during these times. And man, I think it's a real blessing for people to take time and take care of your kids. You know, especially my grandbabies. They're pretty wild, those kids.
Spoiled rotten.
Yeah, spoiled rotten, man. Chapter 9. Chapter 9. All right, let's try to get you guys out of here real quick. I'm always short. All right. John chapter 9. Let's read a few verses in here. And as Jesus passed by and he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this week, Lord. Thank you for a good time, Lord, that you've given us, that you've refreshed our spirits, Lord. And we hope that our time, my brethren this week, Lord, who brought what was on their heart, and the ladies as well, Lord, we just thank you for the word that was given. Thank you for the testimonies, Lord. And Father, we just ask that in these times, especially in these times, it's so many problems and fears and just things that are going on, Lord, and we still see you in the midst, Lord. Help us keep our eyes focused on you, and help us not to move our eyes from you, Lord. We want to do your will. We want to be able to finish this task, Lord, that you've given your people to do, Lord, and especially this church here in San Antonio, Lord. I just ask that you just continue to bless our efforts, Lord. I pray also for the couriers, Lord, that you continue to bless them as they go out and they help out other churches, Lord, and you publish the word and get the Bible in people's hands, Lord. I just thank you for these opportunities, these open doors that you've given us, Lord. I just thank you and love you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, Lord. Just thank you for reaching out for me, Lord. Just thank you how you changed my life.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You know, tonight, just very quickly, I want to talk about the value of this hour. And by this hour, I'm talking about the limited or short period of time that we have. Time goes by so fast. So many things, you know, are happening. I mean, it's already July. You know, it's just crazy. Half the year is already gone. You know, by the time we know it, we're going to be eating ribeyes in Puebla. I mean, it just goes by really, really fast. And, we got to get busy during this time. I mean, I know people, you know, say it all the time. They've been saying it for forever. You know, the Lord's coming back. Lord's coming back. I don't know when he's going to come back. You either. But one thing I do know, we're going to see him. We are going to see him. You either he's going to come back and we're going to fly out of here. And man, I'm looking forward to that. If I had a choice as well, like the brother was saying, that'd be a good day. We'd just all fly out all together. That'd be a good day. But you know what? It doesn't matter. One day, whatever happens, if he comes for us or we go be with him, we're going to see him. We're going to see him face to face. I mean, this is the story that we have. There's nothing like it. The service that we have, the person that we serve, there's nothing like it. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do in this life. The best thing that you could do is serve Christ. You know? And I think the best decision, you know, that I made was, you know, a long time ago, 31 years ago, got saved. 31 years ago, right around here somewhere, you know? Did some good business. Back then we had these curtains. I had no idea why those curtains were there, but they're ugly curtains, but they're huge curtains. But there I was, and I did business with God that week, and man, God saved me. And that was good. Today I had an opportunity to see Jorge Ochoa, and he serves in another church now, but me and him got saved that same week. He was on one side of the room and I was on the other side of the room, and that week, you know, God was dealing with him in his Taco Bell. I don't know who talked to him or how he got here. I forget that part of the story, but we ended up, me and him, that week here every night. And I had no idea who he was until after we both got saved that week, and we became good friends. We're good friends to this day. Man, the Lord has really given me an incredible time, but that 31 years, it's gone by really fast. You know, when it says right here, the night cometh when no man can work, that phrase to me implies urgency, right? It's when our time or moment or privilege is taken away. I'm going to try to stay with my outline so I can just be quick. You know, time is a gift, right? It's precious. It's something that God has allowed us to have. It's more valuable than any precious stone you could possibly have. Time is, you know, I wish I still had my dad here. You know? I mean, lots of times I think about that. I think about my father. You know, I'm hoping, you know, that I'll see him one day. I'm hoping. You know, the reason why I have that hope is because I've said it lots of times, but it was during a mission conference also when my father passed away, and he called me here at this church a long time ago when we used to use telephones that were connected to walls. Yeah. Back in 97, man, 97, a long time ago, he called me at this church one night. And that was funny too, because they never used the phones in this church. They just had, you know, hooked up to answering machines. That's it. You know, no one really, you know, used it. We didn't have like, you know, there was an office back there, but there was no office really to speak of. But long story short, after he died and he called me and he wanted to talk to me, and I gave him the gospel one more time, and I said, "Do it now, Dad. I'll see you tomorrow. We'll talk about this." And he said, "I want to talk to you about it." Well, we hung up, and then the next day my sister called and said he passed away. So when I went home, funeral services, all that got done. I got to preach his funeral, which that was a real blessing. All his friends were there. A lot of people from the church, from the town were there, and I got to preach the gospel. But when I went home, and I sat down, started looking at his stuff, I saw a Bible there. And you know that track that we pass out that now it's white? It's a little, track from the church here. It used to be yellow back in the day. And, it gave a clear information about the gospel, about salvation. And it was in that Bible, a Bible that I gave him. And I pulled it out and I turned it around and they had the phone number to this church. I'm thinking, that's how he called. He called this church with that phone number because I didn't use this phone. I don't give out phones, you know, to this church. No one's going to answer it. But I'm sitting there thinking, and I was just having a ball fest that afternoon or whatever time it was, because I was thinking, my father was reading this track. He didn't call the priest. He didn't call somebody else. He called his son. He wanted to know about God through me. Time is so precious. Time is the gift that God gives you, and you have, sometimes we take that for granted. You know, I'm thinking today when I was listening to Eddie, man, he's, you know, how old are you, Eddie? Like 70 or 80 or something like that? I don't know how old he is, but 65 doesn't look a day over 70, but 65 years old. I mean, that's difficult. At my age, when I went out, you know, 28, 29 years ago, I was young and dumb and, you know, no problems, you know, I could go, I could do it. But I'm thinking at 65, that's a big decision to step out and leave, you know, especially with everything that you talked about today. That's the longer you wait to do something for Christ, and I'm not just saying go into another field. I'm just anything. The longer you wait to just step out your door and start knocking on your neighbor's houses and saying, hey, you know what? Can we have a Bible study? Or I'm having a Bible study at my house. You know, I want to invite you, whatever it is. But to get the salvation message out, if the longer you wait, the busier you're going to get. Your life is going to get more cluttered.
That's true. Yeah.
And you're just not going to have the energy. Yeah. You know, was it Corey today talking about those two preachers that were there with them, and one had to stay right near the hotel because when he got tired, he had to go in and rest.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not there yet, right? But look, it's going to come a time where you're not going to be able to do as much as you can right now. I mean, Brother Lindell doesn't go door to door no more, do you? No, forget about it. You know, hit that time, and you used to do a lot of it. You used to getting home from school. I mean, I've heard all the stories. I was under his preaching. I heard exactly. I can probably, but you come to a time when you get old and this body gets run down and you don't have that energy, time just slips by. You know, it says in Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 that it's a gift from God. Time. It's a time for everything. It's a gift from God. You know, all creation, oblivious to time. Right? You go look at a cow, the cows ain't worried about time. You know, you look at a dog, especially look at a cat. The cat is the dumbest thing. You know, they have no idea what's going on. Right? I mean, my 3-year-old granddaughter is hilarious. Kids have no concept of time either. Right? Cosette, when she goes to bed at night and it's time for her to go to bed, she always asks, 30 minutes. She has no idea what 30 minutes is. But somewhere she heard 30 minutes and she figured out in her head that is going to buy her a little bit of time. She goes, in 30 minutes. And everything to her is 30 minutes. No concept of time. But you know, your time and my time, and there's come a time in your life when you're not a child anymore, and there's a time where you understand that you have a limited amount of time, right? Maybe not so much if you don't know Christ and you're in the world. Maybe you try to ignore that you're not going to live forever. But as a believer, you and I, man, it came clear. Clear. Even when God was working with me and working in my heart, I knew I had a limited time. That was one thing that I understood from that conversation I had, from that preacher, when that conversation, I said, I can die any second and I will go to hell. And I was so scared because I didn't want to die. I didn't want to go to hell. And I needed a little bit more time. A little bit more time. Just a little bit more. And I made a deal with God. I remember, it's so crazy. I remember I made a deal with God that week. And I said, just let me stay alive for 1 week more. And this guy invited me to a week of meetings. I'll go. That's my promise to you, God. I will go every night. I will listen. At the end of the week, I'll make a decision. But I need time. And God, I think God, as much as an audible voice that God can give us, I think He said, okay.
Thank you, Lord.
Because I could start that car that evening, and I could go home. That's how scared I was. I didn't want to start the car. I was thinking, I could die on the side of the road. God's faithful.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, time is something very precious. And we have only a certain amount of time for the opportunities that God gives us. You know? Have you had opportunities? I mean, and I'm not talking about spiritual opportunities. There's been opportunities that come into my life that I jumped on it, and I not even thinking. I remember we were in Irapuato, for just a little bit, and Karen needed a procedure done, and we had this doctor, and Karen needed a procedure, and so we go into his office there, and he had like a little clinic there. He said, look, it's going to be an outpatient procedure, right? I said, okay, good. So they put her under and they were doing it. Well, he comes back out just like a few minutes later. He comes back out and he says, well, it's a little bit more serious than what we thought. We could stop right now, but then I charge you for the time that's already here. And then, you know, we can reschedule, you know? So I was like, okay. And what's the other option? He goes, well, we can continue. And, you know, obviously it's going to be a little bit more money, but we can continue. And, you know, she can still go home today, but it's going to be a little bit more of a procedure. And I said, okay, well, let's go with that. You know, I want to definitely, you know, I want my wife to be well. It was okay. Well, if you want, you can come in with me. Oh, no. And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, if you want, you can scrub in. And I'm like, yeah, I didn't even think about it. You know, what an opportunity. I could be a doctor for an hour. I'm like, I love Mexico. I say, yes. So I'm in there, and I'm thinking the reason why he wanted me in there is because obviously he didn't think it was going to be a little bit that much more of a procedure, but I guess he needed somebody to hold some tools because that's what I did. It was an amazing thing. I'm in there. I'm holding these tools. I'm thinking, wow, this is so cool. We get done. He sews her up. I'm in there in the room. I'm in the room. You know, Karen's barely waking up, and I'm thinking, Karen, I operated on you. What an opportunity. I was like, man, I'm a doctor for just 1 hour crash course. I've had one patient and she survived. Huh? Opportunities. You only have a certain amount of time.
That's true.
You have to take it.
Yes.
What's placed in front of you? What has God given you? Menospreciar. Why always forget the English word? What is
undervalue.
It? Undervalue. Don't undervalue what God has given you.
Amen.
You know, whatever it is, whatever God has put in front of you, whatever God wants you to do, do it, and do it to the Lord. Do it heartily. Do it with all your might. And let me tell you, we are all called to give the gospel.
Amen.
It's not that difficult to hand out a tract. You know, and people are searching. There in Puebla, during COVID, all churches were closed. Except for the rebels in 89 Poniente. We stayed open, you know? I think we closed like for, I don't know, how long did we close? Like 2 weeks maybe or something? Something like that. I forget how long we closed because it was very at the beginning. We had no idea what was going on. I mean, you know, but after like a couple of weeks sitting at home and not leaving, we're thinking, what are we doing? You know, we're sitting here, you know, just looking around and so fearful going outside and, oh, we can't shake hands. We can't, you know, and look, I'm sorry. I don't want to offend anybody. I understand. From the time I went down to Mexico, Bill, always, every time we came over preaching, wash your hands. I wash my hands. So fearful. But you know what? People came to our church. They'd pop in and say, are you guys still open? And yeah, we're still open. You know, we have this, it's a very small church. We tried our best to do social distancing, but it doesn't work. I mean, it's, Eddie's seen, it's a garage. It's a long garage, you know, one car garage going all the way to the back. I mean, we're like, okay, you know, we're social distancing. I mean, whatever, you know, it's just, we would tell, you know, our people, if you're sick, stay home. No problem. If you're not sick, come. Urgency. We have opportunities. You know, there's a story over there in 1 Kings 20 about a prophet. There's a king named Ahab, and he was supposed to wipe out a certain people. He let somebody live, and God had a problem with him. And it's an incredible story because this prophet that goes and is going to confront the king. He disguises himself. But before he disguises himself, right, he tells one of his friends, one of his buddies, you don't need soap operas on TV. Let me tell you, read the Bible. It's pretty good. But he goes to one of his friends, somebody who knows God too, and he says, look, smack me. And the guy says, no, I'm not going to smack you. And he says, well, because you didn't want to smack me. You want to do the word, you know, what the Lord calls you to do or told me to tell you to do. You're going to die. A lion's going to eat you. So I don't think he believed it, but when he walked out, the lion found him. Well, then he goes to another guy, and of course, he probably heard the story. He said, I want to smack you. You know? I mean, you would figure the first guy would have said, you know what, really? Seriously? A lion? Okay, I'll smack you. I'll change my mind. But you know, he didn't change his mind. He stayed firm. No, I'm not going to smack you. You know what? You can change your mind.
Yeah.
God's dealing with you with something. You know God is speaking to you. You know this is, this guy was obviously a prophet, obviously somebody who God sent, and he had a message for him, and he didn't want to help him out, and he got killed for that. I mean, what would have happened? I think maybe God would have said, good, I'm glad you changed your mind, and he would have smacked him, just like Jonah changed his mind.
Amen.
But he didn't. So he goes, after he gets smacked and he disguises himself, and he goes and he talks to the king, and he says, I was in the battle, right? And somebody gave me this guy to apprehend, to keep, right? And I had that responsibility. And if something happened to this guy, they were going to require my life. Look what it says. Look what it says there. And if you want to go, 1 Kings. It's a great story. You just need to read it. It says in verse 39. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle, and behold, the man turned aside and brought a man unto me, and said, keep this man, if by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, so shall thy judgment be. Thyself hast decided it. You know, you're responsible for your own decisions. And I don't want to get into the story just for the simple fact of this guy was in this little parable that he gave. He was busy doing stuff, right? He was busy doing things. And in the midst of doing things, he let the most important task that he had, and he let it go. He had, that was the most, the king would have had a problem. No one would have had a problem. He said, you know what? This is all I'm going to do. Have you gone to the tomb of the, I think it's an unknown soldier. I think that's what they call it in Washington, where those guards are there for 24 hours or whatever it is. And then they do the changing of the guards. That's their only job. Their only job is to be there and make sure that no one messes with that tomb. Right? And you can say, wow, how much these guys get paid? I mean, that's a waste of money. You know, he's a soldier. He should be doing something else. You know, that is his job. That's something that was given to him. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. You know, the military, for whatever reason, they say, we want to honor these men who gave their lives for us. And this is what we've decided, and there will always be someone there. I've seen videos where it's like hurricane, you know, winds, and they're out there, you know, still marching, you know, thinking, man, this is crazy. Go fight. No, to them, it's not crazy. This is my job. This is my time, and it doesn't matter. I will protect this place. Incredible. The night cometh when no man can work. You know, time is unyielding. You can't stop a clock. I'm sorry. You can stop a clock, but you can't stop time.
Yeah.
You know, in my house, I have an old clock, an old wind-up clock, a little black clock that we got from Karen's grandfather on her mom's side. And it's a real cute little clock, but obviously you have to wind it. It's really useless because I'm not going to be there winding it all the time. But it's real nice. And, you know, I have that clock set to 125. It's frozen at 125. Because that's when my daughter was born. 125. You know, you can't freeze time. But in 1996 when she was born, wow, that was a good day.
Yeah.
You know? When I saw my daughter for the first time, so small, so tiny. She had so much hair. And her eyes were so big. And she was looking at me. She was just looking at me. Had that same experience with Cosette, my first granddaughter. Same thing. A lot of hair and big old eyes. And I got her, and man, that same feeling. If I went back to 1996. Wow, my Lauren. You can stop a clock, but you can't stop time. You can try to convince yourself that you can stop time. You seen these people that do plastic surgery? And bless your heart if you've done plastic surgery. Bless your heart. You know, these people okay. I'm not going any further, baby. Anyways, you're not fooling anybody. You're old, you got problems, you try to fix it with other things to try to hold back time. Just gracefully get old. It's not a problem. It's not like a surprise. We don't like wake up and say, oh my goodness, I'm old. No, it happens to everybody. It's impossible to control the minutes, the days, the years. Impossible. The Bible says a night cometh when no man can work. Time slips away. It's volatile, right? You can't treasure it up. You can't keep it in your possession for a later time. You know, in Acts 24, there was a governor by the name of Felix. You know, if you read that chapter, if you read when Paul is there speaking with them, it almost seems like to me like he got convicted. Like there was a conviction there that he was listening and he was like, man, that I need to do something with that information. And you know what he says? Go thy way for this time. When I have convenient season, I will call for thee. Bad mistake.
Yeah.
You know, that day 31 years ago when I got saved, that thought did cross my mind. You know, the thought that crossed my mind was, I made a deal with God and I'm going to make a decision today. Today's that decision. I'm going to either stay right here because the preacher said, if you want to do business with God, if you want to get saved, if you want to ask the Lord to save you, come to the front. Right? I thought, okay, that's how you get saved, right? You just go to the front. Right? There's a whole lot to that story that I didn't just come to the front and raise my hand. They actually pulled out the Bible and the preacher who, Uncle Del West, who gave me, that talk the week before, ran through the gospel with me one more time. Make sure I understood it. And I said, that's what I want.
Amen.
And then he says, I can't pray for you. I'll pray with you. But you got to ask the Lord. And that's what I did. I had no idea what I was doing in the sense of, I was like, well, you know, I'm Catholic. Don't you have like something printed out? You know, I'm thinking this in my head. Much easier. Print it out for me. I can read it. No. You know, you got to speak to God. And God listens.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that amazing? God listens.
Amen.
You know, he, you know, like it says there in Isaiah, man, you know, come, I want to reason with you. You want to reason with me? Who am I? And God says, I want to reason with you. Let's just talk it out. King Agrippa, we know the story, Acts 26. What does he say? You almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Man, people, if there's someone here who is not saved, let's just say you're in agreement. Let's say you've had conversations with people. Let's say you're right there, but you don't know. You know what I would do tonight? I'd get that right.
Amen.
You know, I've heard of people say, well, you know, I remember making a profession of faith. I remember saying a prayer, but I don't know if that really, if I really did it. And they've told me, so I had to do it again. Praise God, do it again. Make sure that is covered.
Amen.
There's no shame in that.
Amen.
You know, if somebody makes fun of you, you gotta do it again. Then that's your friend.
Yeah.
Cause you know what I would tell you? You're not sure, you don't know exactly what you did back then, that's fine. Get it right now. Is God dealing with you right now? Is God speaking to you right now? Don't let it slip. You know, there's another guy in Mark 6:20, if you want to go there. Herod. He puts John in jail, right? You know the story. But it says there in Mark 6:20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and a holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Now, pick up on that phrase, he did many things. You know, Herod never repented. Herod cut off John's head. Shortly after that, they had that big old pachanga and, you know, he told his stepdaughter or whatever, you know, what do you want? I'll give you, you know, half my kingdom, whatever he said, you know, and she asked her mom and says, the head of John the Baptist. And he had to do it. Well, he didn't have to do it, but he did it. Well, look what it says there. He did many things. You know what sometimes people do? When they, and not only lost people, when they're given the gospel, but Christians, they're so busy in many things to try to shake off what God is trying to tell them. Don't be like Herod. You don't let this thing slip. Don't let this thing go. But you know, in the Bible, some seize the moment. You have people Bartimaeus. In Mark 10. That story is incredible. Because he's there, and his name is blind Bartimaeus. Can you imagine living all your life? Oh yeah, it's blind Bartimaeus. No, he didn't stay blind all his life. God, Jesus Christ gave him sight, but he was known as blind Bartimaeus. But when he heard that Jesus was coming through there, he started screaming. And you know what they told him? Quiet. Quiet. But you know what he said? No. I'm not going to let this slip. There was a multitude coming with Jesus Christ. He had to yell. He had to be, he had to stir some things up to get what he wanted.
Amen.
Another guy, how about the leper in Mark 8? If you, Jesus is coming down from the mountain with a multitude of people. He just preached. He just gave the Sermon on the Mount. A real famous passage in the Bible, right? Even the people who don't believe the Bible, they read the Sermon on the Mount and they think it's just such beautiful literature. Well, that was a great sermon. That was Jesus Christ giving awesome information. But he just comes down from that. And he has a bunch of people. And the leper. And if you know about lepers in the Bible, they could not get within a certain distance of people. It was against the law. And it didn't matter. He ran up to him. Let's just go look at that real quick, please. Look what it says there in Mark. And I'm sorry, Matthew. Matthew. Eight. It says, and behold, there came a leper in verse 2, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Amen. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. A leper coming up to Jesus and getting a hold of Jesus. And he got what he wanted. Blind Bartimaeus. You know what it says there if you read that story? It says Jesus stood still. He stood still. Is God dealing with you with something? Salvation, work, getting busy? I don't know what it is. But you know what? You can actually make God stand still. If you cry out to him and just say, I want to surrender. I want to do what you want. And God says, God, the creator of all this, he comes to you and you get his attention, his undivided attention. Do you know what that is? I see it in my grandkids' faces when they get Matt's undivided attention. Right? They light up. Jesus stood still. How about Zacchaeus? All right? He climbed up a tree. Climbed up a tree just to look. He saw Jesus. Jesus saw him and says, I'm going to go to your house today. He ran down. He seized the moment. He said, Christ is going to come into my house. Christ wants to dine with me. He wants to talk to me. Don't pass that up. And time, one more thing. Time is irreversible. Right? You can't get it back. Speaking about Felix, if you go there in Acts 24, 25 and 26, it says in 26, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. It seemed to me like, you know, there was nothing on Netflix that night and he just wants to talk a little bit with Paul. But that one day that he spoke to him was the day he should have responded. The day he actually got convicted. And then when he sent him away, he would just call for him when he got bored. Oh, I'll talk to you again. Got bored of them, sent them away. He missed that opportunity. Look, I'm not saying that if you go home today, and you know God's doing with you something that God's not going to speak to you again, and not going to call for you again, and not going to reach out to you for you again. But why take that chance? Especially if you're not saved, why take that chance? You know what? One thing that appealed to me that caught my attention during that week, during that conference, was about salvation. Not only was it free, but I didn't have to do anything for it. It wasn't like, oh, you need a week of classes, or you need some type of degree, or you need to read your Bible from cover to cover. You need nothing. It says you come as you are.
Amen.
You know, I think I'm just going to end it there. The night cometh when no man can work. You know, if you're to work the work of your Father, it can start today. It needs to start today. The choice is yours. Just like that little parable that prophet said, so shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it. You can't blame the pastors. You can't blame the people around you. You can't blame your boss. You can't blame anybody if you let it pass. Thou thyself hast decided it. You know, I read one time they asked D.L. Moody one time, because it's daunting. It's daunting to think that, how are we going to reach the world? It's daunting. This whole idea of going and go ye into all the world. You can't do it. I can't do it. This church can't do it. It's impossible. And they asked D.L. Moody one time, how are we going to do that? How are we going to reach the world? How are we going to save all these people? You know what his response was? One at a time. It's that simple. One at a time. The problem is, you got to start with the one, right? You have that choice today. Don't let that time slip away from your hands. The night cometh. You can just write that down as a law. It's coming. The night cometh when no man can work. Do your part.
You can stand and turn to number 58.